We're going to be in Daniel chapter 2. We're working our way through the book of Daniel in our 10 o'clock hour each week. Last week we finished chapter 1. And this week we're going to try to go through chapter 2. It's a longer chapter, Daniel chapter 2. And this is about Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon. Remember, the context here is that Daniel was taken from Israel with all the other Israelites that were taken captive by the Babylonians. We talked about that in Daniel chapter 1, how they had been taken captives by the Babylonians. It was God's judgment on Israel because Israel had rejected God. Israel had refused to submit to God's authority, so God said, okay, you're going into captivity, and they did. So now, Daniel has been chosen, hand-picked, with his friends to serve under Nebuchadnezzar in the royal palace. And we talked about how Daniel was a brave man. He told the king, no, I will not eat your pork and whatever other unclean meats for the Jewish people of that time. And no, I will not drink the wine that you are proposing that we drink. And he stood up and he was brave, and it was a real risk. But remember, in the end, Daniel and his friends looked, what the Bible said, 10 times better than the others. And God promoted Daniel and his friends. Well, now Daniel is one of the wise men of Babylon. That's good until you reach chapter 2. Because now, being a wise man in Babylon in chapter 2 becomes a bad thing. Because in Nebuchadnezzar's life, Nebuchadnezzar, first of all, we're going to see it as we go through in the weeks to come. Nebuchadnezzar's a very proud man. He's not very reasonable. It's his way or you're in trouble. And Nebuchadnezzar, who troubled Israel, is now going to be troubled. Look at verse 1. Chapter 2, verse 1. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep break from him. So if you have your paper, the first blank is that first verse. Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled. God is troubling Nebuchadnezzar. Well, do we have another handout? Let's pause for a moment on that. Do we have another handout? No. All right. Could we make a copy? John is on it. Thank you. We will make a few. Make maybe about 3 or so. Thank you. So we'll get that. Nebuchadnezzar's troubled. Have you ever been troubled? Troubled in your mind? Nebuchadnezzar's very troubled in his mind because he had a dream and he cannot figure out what it means. Now, during this time in the Old Testament, God spoke to people through dreams. In the New Testament, where we live, God does not speak through dreams anymore. Hebrews, if you want to look it up later, you can look it up. Hebrews says that God, in old times, Hebrews chapter 1, God in old times used to speak through diverse manners, meaning through prophets, through dreams. God would speak in many different ways. He would send angels sometimes to speak to people. He would speak through the prophets, through dreams. All different methods that God used to speak to people. Sometimes, in the Old Testament, God spoke audibly from heaven to people like Abraham and others. That was special. We read in the Old Testament that God spoke to Moses as a friend would talk face to face. Just direct communication, audible. God doesn't speak that way anymore. In the New Testament, in Hebrews 1, you read about it. It says, now in these last days He has spoken to us through His Son. Jesus, of course, was God in the flesh. He is God. He came and He proclaimed God's message to us. And then we have, of course, the apostles who penned the New Testament. But after that, that was it. No new revelation. But in this time, God is speaking to Nebuchadnezzar. He's sending him a message. And he's troubled about it. And in verse 2, take a look. And the king commanded to call the magicians, the astrologers, the sorcerers, the Chaldeans, for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And in verse 3, the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. He says, I have a problem. And in verse 4, then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, this is the language that they spoke, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we'll show you the interpretation. Look at verse 4. He said, the wise men said, no problem, O king. Just tell us the dream. We'll tell you what it means. Now, this is where we see Nebuchadnezzar's way of doing things. Look at verse 5. Verse number 5 of Daniel 2. Then the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, you shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made a dunghill. Oh, very reasonable, isn't he? Easy guy to work with, huh? Not quite. He says, if you just, you have to tell me the dream and the interpretations, otherwise you're done. And in verse 6, you know, he says, I'm not entirely a mean guy. He says in verse 6, but if you show me the dream and the interpretation thereof, then you will receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore, show me the dream and the interpretation thereof. No middle ground with Nebuchadnezzar. Either you tell me the dream and I give you great rewards, or you die. Those were the two options. And in verse 7, they said, let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation of it. Please, O king, just tell us the dream. And in verse 8, the king answered and said, I know of certainty that ye would gain the time, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if ye will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you. For ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me, till the time be changed. Therefore, tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof. You will just make up an interpretation if I tell you the dream. So you must tell me the dream and what it means. And the Chaldeans in verse 10 said, there's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore, there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asketh such things of any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king, except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh. Nobody can do this, O king, and they're right. No man can do this. And now in verse 12, the king becomes very angry and very furious, and he commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And here's verse 13, where you're going to fill in your next blank. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. Second blank. The decree went forth that the wise men should be slain. It's in verse number 13. Why is that significant? Because Daniel and his friends are now in that category. Talk about going from the top to the bottom. Before, Daniel was just one of the captives. Then he gets promoted. He didn't ask for it, but he got promoted, and now he's a target because he was promoted. Now the decree is gone forth. All the wise men are going to be killed. Daniel is one of them. And you can understand why verse 14, Daniel is a little concerned. He says in verse 14, then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. This was the man that was given the task, Arioch is his name, to kill the wise men, and Daniel approaches him. And in verse 15, he answered and said unto Arioch, the king's captain, why is the decree so hasty from the king? What is going on? Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. He said, this is the story. The king had a dream. He's very upset about it. He doesn't want anybody lying to him about the interpretation, so he made this rule. You have to tell him the dream and the interpretation. Now, the other men, the Chaldeans, their response was, this is impossible. That's not Daniel's response. You see, the men, the Chaldeans, in the earlier passage, they don't know the Lord. They talk about the gods. They're pagans. They don't know Christ. Well, at this time, it wasn't Christ. They didn't know the Jehovah. Christ had not yet come. They didn't know the Lord. So here, these people are saying the gods only can do this. Daniel, though, in verse 16 doesn't say, oh no, we're doomed. Daniel in verse 16 goes in and he desires of the king that he would give him time, just a little bit of time, and that he would show the king the interpretation. He said, oh king, just give us a little bit of time before you start killing everybody. Give us a little bit of time and we will show you. Now, is Daniel thinking that he's going to figure it out? No. So the next blank, then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time. Sometimes we need a little more time. Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Time is a precious thing, isn't it? Once it's gone, it's gone. You can't get it back. And Daniel says, just give us a little time. Time is precious. And Daniel knew it. And he says, we need a little bit of time. What is Daniel's plan? He has a plan. It's a wonderful plan. Nothing secret. You know, you ever go through bookstores and look at the titles of books? How many book titles in bookstores? The secret to this, the secret to that, the secret. Everybody knows the secret of whatever, and you don't. So that's why you have to buy their book. And then you buy the book, and you're like, I knew all this stuff already. Obvious things. It's not a secret. Verse 17, here it is. Then Daniel went to his house. He made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. One word, they decided to pray. Prayer. That's the secret. Prayer. And what a wonderful way to tackle any problem in life. Your first blank or your next blank, then Daniel made the thing known to his companions. First and foremost, Daniel realized, this is a big problem. I need help. Daniel was not a lone ranger. No Christian should be a lone ranger. No Christian should say, well, I'm going to do this all myself. We all need each other. That's how God made us. We need each other. We need help from each other. Don't ever have the attitude, I'm just going to go it alone. That's a recipe for failure. We need each other. Teamwork. Working together. And Daniel said, I need my friends, my companions. And as Matthew Henry says, praying friends are valuable friends. No greater thing than to have friends who you can call on and say, hey, I need you to pray for me or with me about something, and knowing that they will. There's nothing better than that. Knowing that when you call so-and-so and you tell them your prayer request, that they're going to pray. And that's how things happen. When we pray is when things happen. Amen. When we don't pray, nothing happens. Amen. Ye have not because ye ask not. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. Seek and ye shall find. All those wonderful prayer promises. So Daniel said, I need you guys to help me. Not to mention they were all in the same boat anyway. So his friends would have been interested in helping him anyway because they all were wise men. So he says, we got to pray. And what did they do in verse 18? They desired mercies of the God of heaven. That's your next blank. That they would desire mercies of the God of heaven. That's what we ask God for. We ask God for mercy. Mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret. We need mercy. We don't want justice. It's funny. We want other people to get justice, right? We don't want justice, though. We want mercy. Because if we got justice, we would all be in trouble. We want mercies. Mercies is God's favor. You deserve a punishment, but you ask for mercy. That's what we need. Mercies has the idea of we're not worthy. In other words, we don't deserve this, Lord, but would you please do this for us? And God is a merciful God. Amen. He is. He's a God of judgment. We know that. There, They're captives right now because of God's judgment. They're in Babylon because of God's judgment, yes. But even while in captivity, even while God is being, as he needs to be, a God of holiness and a God of justice in that he's punishing Israel in Babylon, even while he's doing that, he still is merciful. He still loves them. And he still cares for them. And the same is true for us. You have to take all the scriptures and put them together, right? The Bible says, whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth. So we know that God does chasten those he loves. But even in the chastening, even when sometimes, let's face it, all of us get away from God at one time or another, and God has to bring us back, and however God does it, even when he's doing that, he does it mercifully, lovingly, just like a parent. Parent that has to discipline their child, they do it in love. They do it because they know it's what needs to be done. And here, God is a God of mercies. He says, Lord, we need your mercies, that you would reveal to us this secret. This is hidden from us, Lord. But here's the wonderful thing. There are no secrets to God. Nothing is secret from God. It was secret to Daniel. Daniel had no clue. Daniel had no clue what Nebuchadnezzar's dream was. But God knew. And this applies to everything in our lives. How many things we don't know? We don't know what's going to happen in 10 minutes. Never mind tomorrow or next week or next month or next year. We have no idea. But God knows. Go to him with your worries. You know, we don't know how a certain situation is going to work out. But God does. So we go to him, because he knows. We don't. So they go to God, and they say that, Lord, you would make known to us the interpretation of the secret. And also look at the end of verse 18, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Lord, we don't want to die. That's basically one of their motives, right? I mean, if you were put in this situation, Lord, please, we need your mercies. We don't want to be killed with all the other pagan people that don't know you and they can't figure out the dream, but Lord, you know it. And then it tells us a wonderful thing in verse 19. So they're praying. And I don't think they just prayed for 5 minutes. Their life is on the line. I think they prayed all night. If your life was on the line, you'd be praying all night too. You wouldn't be sleeping. If there was a death sentence over your head, you would not be sleeping. And Daniel and his men are praying probably all night. And it says in verse 19, then was the secret revealed. That's our title. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. God answered their prayers. God answered their prayers. And that's your next blank. Then was the secret revealed. That word revealed means disclosed. God showed them. They didn't figure it out. It was revealed to them. They didn't figure it out. It's not because they're so smart. It's not because they're so talented. It's because God showed them. Look at Deuteronomy 29. Let's turn back there. Right now we're just talking about what happened with Daniel and his prayers. And then we will talk about the dream. We'll simplify it. But Deuteronomy 29, and if somebody would read for us verse 29 also, the last verse of Deuteronomy 29.
The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us, to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law.
There are just some things that only God knows. And we need to let it be that way. The things that are revealed belong unto us. So, certain things are secret things. And here, this was a secret. God chose to reveal it. God had mercy on them. And the reason that he did so was because of their prayers, because they desired his mercies. Look at James 5. If somebody would read for us James 5:16. And here's where we have a New Testament verse. Again, another prayer promise verse. James 5:16. Whoever has that could read it. Adela? All right. Yep, that was verse 15, and then Adela, if you would read verse 16. Yes. Means accomplish as much. And that's good. And the verse that Esther read, I like the words of verse 15 where it calls it the prayer of faith. I mean, we have to pray with faith. I mean, I don't think Daniel and his friends, when they were praying, said, well, Lord, you probably won't answer our prayer, and, you know, probably hopelessly doomed. But if, you know, no. I think they prayed believing God would answer their prayers. Knowing that He could. Trusting that He could. And that He would. We ought to have a prayer of faith. And then as Adela read, the ending of verse 16, the effectual fervent prayer. That means really praying. That means getting a little bit serious about praying. Adela? Okay. James 1:6. Let him ask in faith. Yes, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea, driven in with the wind and tossed. Exactly good. That's a great verse. Meaning, you got to ask in faith. Don't ask doubting. And I like where it says, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Meaning, it will accomplish much. So, when is God going to do things in your life? When you get serious about prayer. When are you going to start seeing God do more? When you get more serious about prayer.
Amen.
That's when you're going to see God do more things in your life, or in the life of your family, or how about in the life of our church?
Amen.
When are we going to see God do more? When we get more serious about prayer. Sometimes we get into the mentality of, well, we just need to do more. You know, we just need to do more, be busier. And I think if we were all honest, I think we're all quite busy already, right? Even as a church, we have a lot of ministries. So is the answer, oh, we just got to do more? I think the answer is we just need to pray more. And obviously you could pray in your own home throughout the week. You ought to. But we also have prayer meeting on Wednesday, a time where we corporately gather. Wednesday at 7:30, we corporately gather for prayer. It's an important time of the week. These are the things that God wants us to do. And God revealed the secret unto Daniel. And look at Daniel's response now in chapter 2, verse 19. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. That's your last blank. Now, obviously, you see there's a whole lot of the chapter left, and we'll summarize it. But then Daniel blessed the God of heaven, our last blank. He was sure to thank God. Don't be an unthankful child of God, where you pray about something for who knows how long, and then God answers your prayer and you forget about it. And then you walk away from Him. Thank Him, bless Him. And Daniel in verse 20 says, blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are His. And He changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings, because that's what the dream is about. We'll talk about it. He removeth and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with Him. Daniel gives credit where credit is due. Daniel gives all the glory to God. Daniel says, this has nothing to do with me. God is the one. And that's the way we should react to answered prayers. Well, after all, you know, I had some involvement in this. Give God the glory. He did it. Verse 23, I thank Thee and praise Thee, O Thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of Thee. For Thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. So verse 24, Daniel says, O Arioch! We have the answer. Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me before the king, and I will show him the interpretation. Arioch says, all right, let's see this. He brings him, and he goes before the king. He says, O king, in verse 25, I found a man of the captives of Judah. He says he's going to make known to you the dream and the interpretation. The king said unto Daniel, who he renamed Belteshazzar, Are you able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation? And Daniel answers appropriately in verse 27, standing before the most powerful man in the world at that time. Verse 27, Daniel answers in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king hath demanded cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers show unto the king. No man can do this, O king." But verse 28, "But there is a God in heaven." Boy, we could stop right there, underline those words, and talk about that for a while. But there is a God in heaven.
Amen.
What a comfort. What a blessed thought. No matter what goes on in your life or in the world, you can say those words. But there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven. I mean, it could be World War III down here. It could be who knows what going on, nuclear Armageddon going on down here. But there is a God in heaven. We could see all kinds of crazy things going on in politics, but there is a God in heaven, he says. There is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets and maketh known to the king, Nebuchadnezzar, what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of the head upon thy bed are these. And he goes on. Verse 30, "But as for me," Daniel says, "this secret is not revealed to me for any wisdom that I have more than any living." It's not because of me, O king. "But for their sake that shall make known the interpretation to the king, and that thou mightest know the thoughts of thy heart." And he goes in verses 31 through 35, he tells him the dream. The dream is he saw a statue pictured on your paper. In his dream, he saw that statue, or something that looked like that. A statue with a head of gold, breasts and arms of silver, thighs of brass, legs of iron, and feet made of iron mingled with clay, as the Bible says. And at the end of the dream, which is not pictured on your paper, in verse 35, "Then was the iron and the clay and the brass and the silver and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors, and the wind carried them away, that no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth." So in his dream, that statue that he saw, a huge stone fell out of the sky and destroyed the entire statue. Daniel was troubled by this dream. And in verse 36, "This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation." Verse 37, "Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, strength, and glory." Nebuchadnezzar, realize one thing, Nebuchadnezzar. You are as powerful as you are right now because God allowed you to become so. He's telling Nebuchadnezzar, who is the most powerful man in the world at that time, "You are where you are because God allowed you to be." Now, Nebuchadnezzar is not a believer. He does not know the Lord. So Daniel's witnessing to him. We're going to see what happens in Nebuchadnezzar's life. What ends up happening with him. And verse 38, "Wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field, the fowls of the heaven, hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold." That's why in your paper, you see, head of gold is Babylon. That's the head of gold. Daniel said it right there. You are the head of gold. Verse 39, "After thee shall arise another kingdom inferior to thee, and another third kingdom of brass, which shall bear rule over all the earth." So first, the second one, the breasts of silver, is Persia. We will learn about them. They're in the book of Daniel. We'll learn about them. Persia. And then he goes on, he talks about the thighs of brass. That is Greece with Alexander the Great, who conquered the known world at that time. Alexander the Great. And then verse 40, "And the fourth kingdom shall be strong as iron, for as much as iron breaketh in pieces and subdueth all things. And as iron that breaketh all these, shall it break in pieces and bruise." And that is Rome, with all the Caesars. The time when Christ came into the world, under the Roman Empire. And then he talks about the feet, verse 41, "The feet and toes, part of potter's clay and part of iron, the kingdom shall be divided." And you see that on your paper. The divided nations of Western Europe, after the Roman Empire broke up, and all the divided nations, it even was Eastern Roman Empire, Western Roman Empire, and all these things that happened in history. Daniel's predicting, or God revealed to him through the dream, history of the future empires. And then in verse 42, the toes and the feet were part iron, part of clay. So the kingdom shall be partly strong and partly broken. And whereas thou sawest iron mixed with miry clay, they shall mingle themselves with the seed of men. Talking about how they would crumble from within, which is what happened to the Roman Empire. It crumbled from within. But they shall not cleave one to another, even as iron is not mixed with clay. And then in verse 44, and in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which he has already done. Through Christ, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God that has already been established. Now, it's not as it will be in the future, as we read in prophecy about the millennial kingdom after Armageddon and all that happens. That's a whole other topic, but you know that, just summarizing it, you know, the Bible says we're going to be raptured at an unknown time. The Bible teaches that, 1 Thessalonians 4. And then after that starts what is called the Great Tribulation here on earth. And at the end of that is Armageddon. And that is when Christ returns to set up his kingdom on earth, destroying all the ones that are there to destroy Israel. He destroys all of them and establishes the kingdom. So the kingdom's already been started, but it will be fully established when Christ is king on earth. You can read about it in the book of Revelation, the millennial kingdom. And it says, this kingdom shall never be destroyed, verse 44. You see, all these great powerful kingdoms were destroyed. But this kingdom will never be destroyed. And the kingdom shall not be left to other people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces, the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter, and the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof sure. This is what it means, O king. And Nebuchadnezzar, verse 46, falls on his face and worships Daniel. See, he doesn't know any better. He doesn't know the Lord yet. And he worships Daniel and says, burn incense to this man and make this man great, Nebuchadnezzar says. And he says in verse 47 unto Daniel, of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods. Now, sounds like Nebuchadnezzar's professing salvation here. But we'll see what happens with him in very soon, actually next week. He says, oh, your God is a God of gods. Your Lord is a Lord of lords. And he's the Lord of kings and a revealer of secret things, seeing that you could reveal the secret. And he made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon. I mean, Daniel was promoted. He's basically the right-hand man of the king now. Amazing. So just talk about the ups and downs of life. Made into a wise man, on the death sentence, now promoted again. It's just the ups and downs. And Daniel reveals the secret, so you have it right there on your paper. Pictures are always easier to make sense of things. Sometimes if you read through it, you might not understand it, but the picture shows you right there, the different empires of history. And Daniel's now promoted, and everything's okay. Now, if this was a typical story of an average person, it would have ended right there in verse 48. But it doesn't. Verse 49 speaks volumes of Daniel. Daniel requested of the king that he would set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego also over the affairs of Babylon. In other words, he remembered his friends. When he got promoted to a high position, he said, oh king, thank you so much, but I want, my friends need to be here with me too. He remembered they helped him pray. And he wanted them to be blessed also. Don't forget about your friends. Sometimes you're in hard times. You're at the bottom. You ask everybody for prayer and you ask people to help you and people help you. And then you get out of the bottom and things go better and you forget about everybody that helped you. And you forget about your friends. Shouldn't be that way. Daniel remembered his friends. And Daniel sat in the gate and his friends Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which will become a key name next week. We'll hear that name a lot. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego, the three friends of Daniel. You'll see what's going to happen to them next week. But they're promoted now. God bless them. Why? Because Daniel's so talented? No, remember, it was God who revealed it to him. And the same is true of you and I. it's not because of us. When God blesses, we ought not walk around saying, look at me. God blessed me because I'm so special, because I'm better than this other person. Not at all. God loves all of His children the same. God loves all of His children the same. God is a fair Father. He doesn't play favorites. And God loves all of His children. Everybody that's saved. He listens to everyone equally. So any one person can go to the Lord in prayer and have their prayers answered.
Amen.
You don't have to be... You don't have to have certain qualifications. You just go to the Lord and you pour out your heart to Him and you ask Him and He'll answer. In His way and in His time. Not always right away. Well, Daniel prayed and God answered him the same night. And he didn't answer my prayer, so I'm not praying anymore. No. We have to let God do it in His timing. Okay? Daniel had to have an answer that night. Otherwise, he would be dead the next morning. Okay. Most of our situations are not life or death situations. Most aren't. Some, you think about sometimes with health concerns, sometimes it could be more concerning. But God knows those things, and you just give it to Him, and He'll reveal to you in His time. Let's close in a word of prayer. And Brother Bob, would you close in prayer?